from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Crash and Fourier on WEEI.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
This is what it sounds like inside of, like, drug addicts' heads. I'm sure there's some, like, kids of presidents who've had this, like, rolling through their head. On, you know, both sides of the aisle, by the way. Into the 11 o'clock hour on this Wednesday, Gresham Fourier. No, Fourier! Fourier is sunning himself and peeing off a boat in New Hampshire, most likely right now. Lou Merlone will join us at noon. Our guy Terp will slide in at about 12:25 to talk some Celtics. And we do have our version of Big Deal, No Big Deal. And then we are going to talk about the hot dog eating contest with Richard Shea, co-founder and president of Major League Eating. And man, when we go down the road of the Jeffrey Esper feats of eating, like feats of strength, holy cow. We might have to get that in before. I don't know. We'll probably wait until after some people have had some lunch today. So, Indiana against Las Vegas, ladies and gentlemen, in the WNBA. I'm sure it was on your bingo card. I'm sure some of you stayed up late to be able to watch it. Indiana against Vegas had the WNBA's largest regular season attendance since 1999. Last night, T-Mobile Arena, 20,366 people. And there was a couple of people who were in like the real cheap seats who sent like kind of like a panoramic view of that building completely banged out. Now, almost every, you know, there was the one in Boston and a couple different ones that I've been to, but almost every UFC pay-per-view for me has been in Vegas, in T-Mobile Arena, and I'm used to seeing that building banged out. I'm not used to seeing it banged out for a WNBA game. And I know that going in, there was a lot of talk about Caitlin Clark. Will she be able to keep the momentum going? Almost had a triple-double last night. 13 points, 6 rebounds, 11 assists. I know a lot of you, you're like, okay, great. I know Caitlin Clark's really good. But for an example as to how big a difference Caitlin Clark has made in the WNBA, listen to this. This isn't a number that I look at and say this is like the ballot box stuffing that we used to, or that we got, I don't know, we talked about it about a week ago. You used to go to the ballpark in MLB, and you had your little dot, dot, dot test, and you filled in your thing, and then you left your ballot. Yeah, you put it in like the mailbox at Fenway or whatever, and you slid it in there, and then they counted and tabulated it up. Last year's All-Star fan vote leader was Asia Wilson, great WNBA player. Asia Wilson last year led the All-Star fan voting with 95,860 votes. This year, Caitlin Clark led the way, fan vote leader, with 700,735 votes. So it went up seven times compared to the most popular, just again, by the fan voting, the most popular player in the WNBA and newest, one of the newest, by the way, Asia Wilson, under 100,000. Caitlin Clark, over 700,000.
That's 200,000 more than Jaren Duran got.
It's really wild. I mean, look, I think there were a lot of traditional sports fans who were sitting around and being like, nah, it's just a fad. It'll fade. And Caitlin Clark has kind of at least proved this season that momentum is carrying over. And then you have Angel Reese crying about being an all-star. The doors to the WNBA have been opened up in a way that even I couldn't have imagined. If I didn't see that number of almost 600, there were over 600,000 more votes from the most popular player year to year in the WNBA. They know they clearly have something. But what the WNBA also has is a great idea for this year's All-Star Game. So not that I'm hunkering down on the WNBA All-Star activities, but I came across this yesterday where the WNBA is going to do their All-Stars against the U.S. Women's National Team. So, yes, you have a lot of really good players on that national team, like Kelsey Plum and Breonna Stewart and some of the names that you would know in the WNBA. And then the WNBA All-Stars are, you know, there's an older player mixed in there. One of the Nika Ogwumike, her sister's on ESPN all the time. They have Caitlin Clark in there. They got Aaliyah Boston. So, but they're doing All-Stars against the National Olympic Team. So what happened if we would do that in the NBA based on this year's Olympic team and then looking back at some of the guys who were all-stars? Now, I did this exercise in writing this down originally where it was the U.S. Olympic team this year and then the guys that didn't make that team, how many were all-stars that we could put in. And originally, I kind of left out Luka, Jokic, guys like that, right? Even Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, because it is an Olympic year, and those guys are going to play for different countries. But if we throw them in, you really have something. So just looking at the U.S. national team, you have Bam Adebayo, Devin Booker, Steph Curry, Anthony Davis, AD. You got Kevin Durant. You got Ant-Man Anthony Edwards. You got Joel Embiid, Halliburton, Drew Holiday, LeBron, Tatum, and Kawhi. That's a pretty good national team, right? Have them on one side of the floor for the NBA All-Star game. And then on the other side, and these are the non-sort of Euro players that would have been on their own Olympic teams, but just this group of Paolo Banchero, Jaylen Brown, Tyrese Maxey, Donovan Mitchell, Karl-Anthony Towns, Paul George, Julius Randle. Now, if on that side, meaning the NBA side, you didn't honor like the Olympic commitments to the guys with other countries and you mix them in with those NBA All-Stars, now you're adding SGA, Luka, you're adding Jokic into this mix as well. Where that would be interesting. I would at least be interested in that. You give me the NBA All-Star game this year, and it would be the U.S. men's national team against basically the best All-Star team that you could create from the guys that aren't on the U.S. national team. It's actually a decent concept when you think about it. You put all those guys that I mentioned, which are a lot of NBA superstars, young and old, and then you throw in maybe some of the Euros with Banchero and Brown and Maxey and Mitchell and Carl Anthony Towns. At minimum, okay? At minimum, you've at least re-energized the All-Star game, even if it's just in an Olympic year. Like, that's all I would ask. Every 4 years, maybe you do shake it up based on the national team, and then you come up with your NBA All-Star game from there. I don't know. I mean, I do feel like, boys, that this is one of those problems that we have continually tried to solve, and I know that we're never going to solve it perfectly, but this is at least a different idea in terms of packaging up a game like that.
Well, to your point with shaking it up, when they went to the whatever the new fourth quarter is in the All-Star game, where it's like you have to win by 24 points or whatever.
No, it's the something scoring
There's
system.
A lot of math involved.
They use it in that thing. You've heard of the TBT, the million dollar, the basketball tournament. They do that where it's kind of like whatever the lead is, and then it's the first one to a certain number, and that's how you kind of play in the fourth quarter.
That was implemented. They actually cared in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
like they played defense and actually were hacking people to take free throws because they were trying to do the math on how to win. They only lasted for 1 year. Nobody really cares about it anymore. So maybe you do have to shake it up once every 2 or 3 years.
So I got it. It's called the Elam Ending. And it's an alternative scoring format for the fourth quarter of games. It aims to create a more natural end to games by turning off the game clock and replacing it with a target score. First team to reach or exceed the target score wins the game, and there is no overtime. Now, that is perfect for the All-Star game. I don't want overtime.
People loved it when it first started because the players cared about it.
It was different.
Because they wanted it was different. They wanted to win. They actually cared about the fourth quarter of the All-Star game when it was just dunks and people jacking up half-court shots anyway. So maybe you do have to change it up every once in a while, and that just gets people reinvested in it.
And even if you do it once every 4 years with the Olympic team, great, great. Like, it's something, it's different, it's cool, it would be unique. None of us, sadly, and I hate that the NBA did this, but none of us watch the All-Star game as Eastern Western Conference anymore. They've ruined that, just like the whole, interleague play has kind of ruined the All-Star game in baseball. We don't see, Wade Boggs against Rick Russell all the time. I know that's the Bo Jackson game. I get it, the Bo All-Star game and all that stuff. But you get my point, is that we've lost some of that. I don't want to say we've seen everything, but we've kind of seen everything a little bit here.
Well, no, even me growing up, I would watch the All-Star game because you didn't watch a lot of the National League. And now, you can watch any basketball game at any time. You can see any play you want at any time.
But I remember, even in the late 80s, early 90s All-Star games, there was still not only pride in the game, but it felt like there was pride by conference, The Eastern Conference is better than the Western Conference, and the players cared about that. Now I think the players are much more into money. I completely understand that.
Anthony Edwards admitted it. He's like, I don't want to be here.
Yeah. I mean, and guys just don't value it. So how can you do something to make it different every couple of years? At least that is something. And I got to give the WNBA a little credit. Really what the WNBA did is kind of find a way to make sure they took out enough good players so that the youngs like Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark are guaranteed, and they should be all-stars, but they're guaranteed a spot on at least that all-star team going against other WNBAers so that they can sell it that, hey, the young stars have made it. Because, sorry, NBA, the future stars game is not landing with people. It's not landing with people. The whole future stars thing. So they got to find a way to shake that
Whenever
up too.
Tim Hardaway Jr. and Victor Oladipo were playing in it 15 years ago. That's when people cared because they were just matching threes. That's the only part of that game people remember.
Right. It's like it's really like a glorified, NCAA Final Four. If you had all that talent in college, which a lot of those guys probably should be. Kurt is in Tampa on an All-Star game. What do you got, Kurt?
Hey, how's it going, guys? MLB, I actually, for their All-Star game, because, it's hard to fix these things. I just looked it up. So a couple of years ago, World Baseball Classic, it was great, USA versus Japan. I just looked it up. Japan has their All-Star game a week after the MLB. Just thinking how great it would be to kind of mix those two together. Because I just thought the Japan versus USA was awesome.
Kurt, you know what? It's interesting that you bring that up, because it feels like whatever fix there could have been to the baseball All-Star game after it got completely destroyed by the idiocy of Bud Selig, that the World Baseball Classic rules or something close to it might have been the way to be able to go, to be able to fix it, make it better. And instead it is, oh no, we want to spread the game across the world. We want to recognize the world's game. We're going to do it in the World Baseball Classic. So now you have what could be an interesting tournament, but you're playing it before the season starts. So as a fan, you're conflicted, because if one of your players gets hurt, yada, 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 you understand the big mess. So there is the part of me that does think baseball was more than willing to kind of flush the All-Star game down the toilet and ruin that for the World Baseball Classic every couple of years.
Actually, if they did put it in the middle of the season, like the caller suggested, it might actually help MLB free agency.
How?
Because you have the international signings, like Roki Sasaki is like the next great pitcher coming out of Japan.
You pull these names out.
And if you see him during the season and you're watching it, I think it would actually get fans invested in wanting to see their teams go out and sign these national superstars. Like Yamamoto, how many people like, oh yeah, we didn't get Yamamoto, but how good is he? You see him against major league players, it might spark people like, they really need to go get this guy.
Yeah, I wonder how the Japanese league would feel about that, but you might be on. Look, at minimum, you're into a discussion with, you know, the high-powered people in the room. Could we do it? Could we pull it off? I feel like that in trying to address some of these issues, in particular, like with All-Star games, there are more people who are willing to say, well, we can't do that. Well, we can't do that. Oh, here's why we can't do that. Versus how do we find a way to do that if you have a good idea? You know, it's a good idea. Subscribe to the Gresham Fourier podcast. Do it right now. Billy Lanny busts his hump getting those things out there. Wherever you get your pods, subscribe to the Gresham Fourier podcast. We do have the lunchtime parlay coming up at right before noon. Lou Maloney will join us at noon to talk about the Red Sox. But I think we should have some fun with the founding fathers of our country, considering it is Independence Day tomorrow. And, well, there's a lesson to be learned within looking at the founding fathers. We will get to that right now. Billy Lanny, ready to trend.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches.
Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You can stream the show or listen on demand anytime.
Just download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y.
Save W-E-E-I's a favorite and listen wherever you go.
Now, more Gresh and Fourier
on W-E-E-I.
Speaking of that, I noticed that intern Jacob is in the Twitch chat as intern Jacob. I don't know if y'all saw this or not. I guess he's got, wow, where did that music go? Holy, it happened.
Sometimes I click a different tab, it just stops.
Oh, okay, I got you. Well, it picked up right where I left off. Yeah, maybe Monty Mac and Nightlight and Homebrewed and a Butter Guy Hawk Tua. It was Butter Guy. Now it's Butter Guy Hawk Tua. I don't know if the original Butter Guy is someone absconded with his name or something like that, but
couldn't have just put a one or an exclamation point after.
I guess not. So if you want to roast intern Jacob in there, he's apparently saying some stuff that people are like calling him out on. So have fun with intern Jacob. He's not dressed like he's going to the tailgate today, as we noted a little bit earlier. I'm going to get to the Founding Fathers stuff because there are some. And I've been looking for the Founding Fathers of Boston sports, and we start to narrow that down a little bit. That'll be a bit of an interesting exercise. We will get to it in mere moments, but a couple of you won in on WIC and the All-Star Game and all that kind of stuff. 617-779-7937. Longest order await, Victor in Maine. Vic, go ahead.
Thank you. I just wanted to...
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yep, I got you. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I just want to give WIC credit. Like, we've seen plenty of owners of professional sports teams just empty the cupboard, close the checkbook, and just let players go, or just try to get it down to zero so they're more, you know, so people will buy them.
All right.
But this guy has spent the money, and he's said, okay, I've settled down the core, and now you have to buy it. I give him credit.
Victor, one of the things that I appreciate about what WIC is about to do is that it feels like, as a fan, as a media member, as an analyst, that WIC is being as transparent as he can possibly be. There are times where, you know, look at what happened in Cleveland when Belichick was there. Freaking, yeah, they were so afraid. Art Modell was so afraid of what was going to happen, and the guy slinks off into Baltimore in the middle of the night. We've seen the move to Indianapolis where it's like, oh, where did this come from? Boom, out of nowhere. We can say that the WIC putting up his and his family's portion of the team for sale was surprising, no question. But this isn't a, by God, breaking news, here's the press release. WIC Grosbeck is out, and that it caught everybody off, off guard. No. Guys, being honest about it, that I really do appreciate. I know they're not going to pull back the curtain on the bidding process and who it could have been and all that stuff, but at least we're in the loop, and it isn't going to be one of these, you know, clandestine moves in the middle of the night or a sale in the middle of the night. Kevin in Derry on the All-Star Game. Go ahead, Kevin.
How's it going?
Good. What do you got?
I think for all the All-Star games, it would be interesting if the players had a stake. They should pay an entry fee like a poker tournament or something. I don't know, $500,000, $1 million, and winner takes all, right? Split it up?
Yeah, I don't think money solves the problem. Otherwise, it would have been done. And then where does it stop at the end of the day? I want guys to participate in the NBA All-Star game. I want to encourage people to go to the NBA All-Star game. I don't want them to think that they're like entering a contest or something like that, or that, you know, they have to put up their own money to be able to get in there. because not everybody makes a ton of money in the NBA. Not everybody would be able to sign. Now, again, the big name players, of course, I get it, but I don't want to do things that are gonna drive people away. So, Billy, I think the guy's name is Alexis Ohanian. I'm sure you've heard that name before, right?
Sure.
That is the he's a billionaire. But he
I
is,
roll with those circles, so yeah, I know.
Yeah, I figured as much.
We've had a drink together.
Yeah, and that is the husband of Serena Williams, I do believe.
Oh, so he found like Reddit, right? Is that what his claim to fame is?
I think so. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and what I'm about to roll out almost reads like a Reddit post. Okay, we're joking around about the founding fathers of Boston sports, but on the eve of July 4th. You go back to July 4th, 1776, and these are the people that are regarded as the founding fathers of the country. And there is a theme that you will pick up on pretty quickly. George, because I got their ages too. George Washington, 44. Now, maybe in...
That white wig made him look so much older.
And maybe in...
Unflattering.
And maybe in 1776, 44 was like 80.
Lucky to still be alive.
I don't know.
Should have been dead 4 years before.
But the dude is 44, and he's the oldest one on this list. Paul Revere, 41. John Adams, 40. Thomas Jefferson, 33. James Madison, 25. Alexander Hamilton, 21. Aaron Burr, 20. James Monroe was 18 years old. I don't know what is scarier, electing a 78 or an 82-year-old to go to office, or the fact that an 18-year-old is one of the founding fathers of our country.
Bananas.
It's amazing.
I wonder how it balances out, though, when you look at life expectancy then compared to now.
Sure.
Maybe it's a little balances out a little bit, but yeah, the fact that James Monroe is 18 years old is nuts.
That's a good thing to have George Washington there.
Yeah, let's see. Hold on,
He's the Alex Van Pelt of the Founding Fathers.
Oh, my God, that's fantastic. I just typed in, I wanted to see, I went 1776 life expectancy, just to try to get an idea.
20 minutes.
So it says, what was life expectancy in the 1700s? And then, let's see here, 18th, what an explanation. 18th century male life expectancy at birth was 34 years. Female expectation of remaining years at age 15 rose from 33 years around the 15th or 16th centuries to 42 in the 18th century. For most of the century, it ranged from 35 to 40, but in the 1720s, it dipped as low as 25 years old. So basically,
dysentery running rampant.
George Washington at 44 was, the Joe Biden of this group, or the, in terms of age, the Trump, I guess, of this group. But it's just amazing to me that, we put limits on everything now. Old, young, all that kind of stuff. I get it. I just would like some people that could think. Can we start there? Maybe a little bit of non-party line think. Maybe, because whether you're left or right, I say it all the time, if you're brainwashed into thinking one or the other, you're an idiot too.
This world loves division now.
It really does.
It feeds off being different. Like, mm-hmm. It's not even saying different, but like different just to be angry at the other one.
Oh, I totally agree. Yeah.
Like, we need different things in the world and different ideas and different approaches, but people are out there just being angry just to be angry.
Correct. Oh, this idea aligns with all of these other rubes who think the same, and same on this side as well. It's like, good Lord, what about do the best for the people? It's do the best for the people as long as you think D or R.
You have the morals of an alley cat.
Oh, good Lord. Don't even, please. Good grief. I don't even want to hear any of that, for God's sakes. But
I didn't have sex with a porn star.
I didn't. Who would be the couple founding fathers of Boston sports? Corny question the day before the 4th of July.
So just go all four majors. It'd be Red Auerbach.
Yeah, Red's definitely got to be on the list, Billy. No question.
You got to put Kraft.
Ooh.
Right? So if you try to find it, like, you know, I mean, obviously there's no limit to founding fathers. It's not like a Mount Rushmore type thing.
Correct.
So it could be both owners. You know,
it
what
would
I mean?
Be, no, but to your point, it would definitely be Kraft. I think Bill would have to be on there, but it's Kraft first because he's, as a texter sent in a little earlier, he saved the team from going to St. Louis. So, you know, you would definitely look at him as a founding father. I mean, do we got to go all the way back to, you know, Pie McKenzie with the Bruins or something like that? I mean, do we got to go? I wonder if we got to go back to the 20s and the
Bobby Orr.
So there you go. It could be. It doesn't have to necessarily be an owner or a manager. It could be a player. Bobby Orr put hockey on the map for Boston.
Bobby Orr is one of the top three greatest players of all time.
There's no question.
Changed the position.
And when you look at the impact of Bobby Orr, the reason there's, you know, like ice rinks down the road from where we're at right now is because of Bobby Orr and that group in the 70s and everybody was building sheets. I just wonder if I don't want to be disrespectful to Bruins history. I'm not anti-throwing Bobby Orr on there because even whatever was built, Bobby Orr took it to the next level.
Right, you put Bobby Orr ahead of the Jacobs.
Oh, no question. Right, oh, my God.
So kind of do it, work on it that way.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of, like, you know, the original six time. Was there anybody that we might want to throw on there? But then again, you know, it would come up in discussion. Do we Tom Yawkey? No?
Put aside his terrible views of the world.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, developed that team. He made
I know.
Or do you go John Henry?
Oh, no. They
didn't win for 86 years until he got here.
They didn't, but...
Yeah, but they were still a staple.
They were the team. I mean, it was crazy to think, and it's hard for the modern fan to imagine any of this, but losing was so connected with that team. That's what they really became known for nationally. We all suffered through it. John Henry, to me, just happened to be the guy in the right seat at the right time. But, you know, there was 86 years of clear history in the trading of Babe Ruth and stuff like that along the way. That I can't, like, John Henry only found the championship. I mean, I couldn't go found, I'm even uncomfortable even mentioning Yawkey. You know.
Got you Pedro, got you Manny.
See, that's the thing is that the walls that were up, perceived or otherwise, to the Dominican community for the baseball team all changed when Pedro and Manny got here. And then there were T's, and then now we know the makeup is completely changed. Duquette's an interesting one. I would have to put him to the side, Billy, because I feel like there would need to be a little more discussion. But boy, oh boy, it's definitely somebody that I think you got to consider. Someone said Naismith, basketball began in mass. I mean,
fair enough.
Can't argue that one. James Naismith, Hall of Fame and
all
that.
In Springfield.
But I'm like Billy, though. The first person I thought of was Red. I mean, when you think Boston Celtics, the first thing to me and to a lot of people is still Red Auerbach. And for the Youngs, it's even, who was that bald guy who smoked the cigar?
Who always had a cigar.
Yeah.
Do you believe he used to smoke indoors?
Oh, my God, I know, right? Can you imagine, like, do you know how many people probably don't realize, Billy and Nick, how many times freaking Red sparked up in the old garden just sitting there? Like, honest to God, if the politicians of today saw Red Auerbach in the 60s, even just lighting that thing up in a building, they'd probably still try to retroactively fine his ass and fine his family. Hey, your great-grandfather smoked indoors. By God, we're going to get our $1.95 for the fine out of this.
That's why Wake has to sell a team because he's like indirectly associated now.
No, honest to God, yeah.
All the retroactive fines.
Yeah, that's right. Retroactive secondhand smoke. You were the problem. Like, oh, my God. You know, it goes to show how far we've come. So we got hockey covered a little bit. We know we got basketball. With football, I think we got the main two. I think you would have to go.
The Red Sox are the tricky one.
The Red Sox are definitely the tricky one.
And that's just because you have to leave Yawkey out because he's a horrible racist.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that you'd want to mention him, but no. Some said Ted Williams. I don't know. Tommy Heinsohn. I can't go there. He's a great player, but the guy who coached him is kind of the more important guy in Red Auerbach, right?
So basically when you made the list on the show grid today, you gave us eight names. So you doubled Mount Rushmore. That's the thinking we have to have here, is that it isn't limited
right
to however many people we think it should be. It's always, there's more.
There's going to be players,
there's going to be owners. It's a combination of both.
Yeah, and soccer doesn't, I mean, with all due respect, I don't know if, you know, Jonathan Kraft is the one that really led the charge with the Revs. I don't know if they've hit the point to be able to get to the Founding Father thing and stuff like that. How about John in Groveland once in on this? Uh-oh, he says the real Founding Fathers. Uh-oh, John, what do you have, buddy?
Well, you know, we're all different ages. I think you're doing the grandchildren of the Founding Fathers. With the Bruins, for instance, Charles Adams brings the first professional team to the United States. He then goes out and basically buys a whole league to get one player, Eddie Shore, four times most valuable player. And in no offense that you guys don't know this, you could not get a ticket to a Bruins game in the 20s, 30s, 40s. It wasn't like the Celtics in the 50s and 60s where they were winning championships and selling 5,000 seats. I mean, if you really want to do the founding fathers of some of these games, we got to go back a little ways.
All right, John. And that's why I said with hockey, we would have to go back. Now, if you want to be very literal on who birthed whatever, then, well, get into the Yawkey stuff then. That's why there's got to be a little nuance to this conversation, because, you know, as even a texter sends in, Billy Sullivan founded the Patriots. Would any Patriot fan, young or old, disagree on, no, Robert Kraft would be the founding father because he saved it from going elsewhere?
Columbus, it's not literal founder.
Right. Columbus, right. Quote, founded America.
Correct. Correct. Quote. It's a big quote for a lot of people.
Columbus stole America.
There you go. There is that, too. Of course, we don't want to be on either side of that argument. Good Lord. It's like I mentioned Biden, Trump, and both. But, you know, two people yelling, oh, my God, I'm going to think with all of them.
So I have to play drops from both, so I'm not just making fun of
that. That is...
equal air time.
Yeah, that is, that's exactly right. But I do think there is that kind of discussion to be had, given the rich history of our great city. And, you know, will there be a seat at the table for MLS at some point in this? Like, will the Revs... You know, because granted, it's not going back to the 1900s with the invention of soccer with David, who calls
the MLS.
Yeah, you know, a bunch. You know what it is? Here's what I would say: who founded the MLS? The sons of the NFL owners. Look at Kraft, Hunt.
It is Lamar Hunt.
Yeah. But it was Clark Hunt, I think. The Lamar was a part of it, and then the son was the one who was really hard driving, and same here.
It says Lamar Hunt and Philip Anschutz.
Oh, Phil Anschutz is the
first
guy.
Name on this guy.
Yeah. That's first a beer.
Buddy Phil.
Hey, your buddy Phil. Yeah. I did kind of react that way like I knew him. But Anschutz, we just looked him up the other day. He's got a bunch of other team holdings as well, or something like that. And I could be wrong on the whole Anschutz and the Anheuser-Busch thing and stuff like that. But anyway, I know there's beer tied in there somewhere with that guy.
There always is.
Never. Well, America. Again, yeah. Well, that's just going to say, God bless Beer America. Exactly right. As a lot of people are going to experience that again starting tomorrow. Speaking of eating hot dogs, we're going to talk to the co-founder and president of Major League Eating, Richard Shea. Will be aboard at 1:00. Lou Maloney at noon to talk about the Red Sox. When we start to go through some of the feats of the favorite in the hot dog eating contest, local guy Jeffrey Esper, wow. You'll wonder how a man that looks like he does can consume that many calories. It's amazing. He is a power lifter. He's ripped, but might slam down 60 hot dogs on Coney Island tomorrow and win himself a mustard belt. How about that? So anyway, we will talk to Richard Shea about all that. Terp will be in to do some celts, but the lunchtime parlay is next.
AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download.
Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
right, time for today's lunchtime parlay. And god dang, Stephen Kwan. Hell, forget over 1.5 hits. One GD hit.
Get one.
I'm like Harry Doyle. One hit, that's all we got. One goddamn hit. You can't say that on the radio. Ah, no one's listening anyway. That whole thing, yeah, Stephen Kwan couldn't even do anything for us on yesterday's lunchtime parlay. Red Sox did win on the money line. Rays covered the 1.5 against the Royals. And unfortunately, Foyer was right on the Cutter Crawford strikeouts. Crawford ended up with 7. Foyer went with the over 5.5 on the Cutter Crawford strikeouts. So Stephen Kwan cost us a, well, would have been a juicy $163 parlay, but let's get back up on that horse once again. Time for the lunchtime parlay. It is presented by FanDuel, America's number one sports book and the official sports book of WEEI. I'll give mine and then I'll give Fourier's as well. How's that? Because I'm making Fourier's pick for him today. But I am going to start with Joey Estes. Of the Joey Estes is in this Oakland LA game. I'm going under 4.5 strikeouts for Estes at -110. I will admit I turned to a fantasy friend to be able to help with making some picks today, and likes Joey Estes a lot. So I'm going to go with Estes of Oakland under the 4.5 Ks. Billy Lanny, what do you got, friend?
The Braves are hosting the San Francisco Giants. Chris Sale on the mound for Atlanta. So give me Chris Sale to record the win against the Giants.
Chris Sale has not broken yet, huh?
Not yet.
I wonder when I can hear Fourier now. Isn't there a place that I can bet on what date Chris Sale will break? Somebody's got to have it somewhere, right?
No, what he would have done is he would have put it in the parlay right before he came back from break.
True.
And it would have been our fault for not telling him that it can't happen.
No, that's a good point. You're right. That's a good call. Chicken Nick, what do you got?
Well, I was banking on a slump buster yesterday, and now I'm going low-hanging fruit and getting into a streak. So I'm doing everything you should do.
You're going Mark Grace yesterday. Slump buster.
Aaron Judge, already over 30 home runs this year. And Andrew Abbott of the Reds has given up the 5th most home runs in baseball. Judge hit one yesterday. I'm banking on Judge to hit another one today. This might be the lowest I've ever seen a home run odd, by the way.
Yeah.
Plus 180. That's kind of nuts how low that is, but give me Aaron Judge to hit a home run today against the Reds.
Well, it's really funny that you mentioned Andrew Abbott of Cincinnati on the other side of that against Aaron Judge there as the Reds are at the Yankees, because I'm going to go with Andrew Abbott of Cincinnati under 2.5 walks. That'll be the pick that is made for Foyer today.
Just leave him over the plate.
That's right, on the lunchtime parlay. Yeah, that's right. We can both win. I mean, I don't. He can give up 10 runs. I don't care. Just, you know, keep it under two walks or less, and I'll be happy. So, Andrew Abbott of Cincinnati, under 2.5 walks. Aaron Judge over the home run prop. Chris Sale to get a win. Joey Estes under 4.5 Ks. Folks, your $10 can win you. You ready for this? $192.81.
Sign. $2 million.
That is exactly right. Exactly right. There you go. We'll get that out on social media. On Twitter and X, it is Gresh Fourier, W-E-E-I. Gresh and Fourier. Spell the A-N-D in between our last names to be able to find everything we do on the Instagram. Lou Maloney coming up at noon to talk some baseball. But while we're at it, we weren't necessarily going down the Mount Rushmore of Boston sports against other cities. It was more of the founding fathers, but let's see where Jack and Natick takes us with Gresh No Fourier. Hello, Jack.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you? What do you have?
So I did it with a couple of college buddies, and it's just a good little exercise. There's really only six cities, maybe seven, that have all four sports. And when I did it, I'll do my Boston team. I got Ted Williams, Brady, Bill Russell, and Bobby Orr. And when you compare it to other cities, there really is no comparison for New York. You know, they got too many very good baseball players. So they got Babe Ruth for baseball. Basketball is probably Walt Frazier. Football, you know, and when I do New York, Rush, you got to have the old New York Kings, like the Knickerbockers, the Giants, the Yankees, and the Rangers versus the four new teams. Because I wasn't going to compare, you know, six or seven New York teams in there. And then for my second Boston, it was Yastrzemski or Pedro, John Hanna, Larry Bird, and Ray Bourque.
Well, Jack, you mentioned...
The only thing...
No, I was going to say, Jack, I got to run because we got Lou coming up at the top of the hour here. Again, that's why the Mount Rushmore thing always gears towards players, always. That's why when you do the Founding Fathers, the discussion is a little different because you had people who come along in the history of these franchises who end up in some way saving them. See Robert Kraft and the whole, you know, I know he purchased it, the... What, Kiam and Orthwine was in there and all that kind of stuff. If you look at the cities that have at least one of the four majors, it's Boston, Chicago, Dallas, Denver, Miami, Minnesota, Philadelphia, and Washington. That's at least according to the old quick search on the Google. I think there is a difference between a Mount Rushmore and the Founding Fathers. To me, the Founding Fathers are people that you will never forget. I don't care how young a Celtic fan you are, and I got two in my house. They know who Red Auerbach is. They may not completely understand the enormity of what he means to the NBA and the Celtics, but they at least know who he is.
Back to that last call, though, but think about other cities and how bad their founding fathers are compared to...
Oh, Lord.
What we're trying to narrow it down to. Even if we try to narrow it down to 10.
What does it look like in Minnesota? Is Rice, Carl Pollard?
Kirby Puckett.
Oh, God.
Mike Modano. you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's, but, I mean, you think about how spoiled and lucky we are that we struggle to find a dozen names for founding fathers in this area. And other parts of the country, their heads would be spinning trying to get five.
I miss the North Stars. Those are good uniforms.
Philly would have put in Rocky.
No, Fourier would put in Rocky
other than
for
a
Philly.
Fake character, he's awesome.
Yeah, and yes,
he would be there.
Of course, Billy, defending the Rocky franchise. We're halfway home here on this Wednesday, heading into the holiday weekend. Louis Merlone. We're moving up our chat with the voice of baseball in Boston. He ain't on Friday. He's with me next.
AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download.
Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
All right, time for today's lunchtime parlay and god dang Stephen Kwan. Hell, forget over 1.5 hits. One GD hit.
Get one.
I'm like Harry Doyle. One hit, that's all we got. One goddamn hit. You can't say that on the radio. Ah, no one's listening anyway. That whole thing, yeah, Stephen Kwan couldn't even do anything for us on yesterday's lunchtime parlay. Red Sox did win on the money line. Rays covered the 1.5 against the Royals. And unfortunately, Foyer was right on the Cutter Crawford strikeouts. Crawford ended up with 7. Foyer went with the over 5.5 on the Cutter Crawford strikeouts. So Stephen Kwan cost us a, what would have been a juicy $163 parlay, but let's get back up on that horse once again. Time for the lunchtime parlay. It is presented by FanDuel, America's number one sports book and the official sports book of WEEI. I'll give mine and then I'll give Fourier's as well. How's that? Because I'm making Fourier's pick for him today. But I am going to start with Joey Estes. Joey Estes is in this Oakland LA game. I'm going under 4.5 strikeouts for Estes at -110. I will admit I turned to a fantasy friend to be able to help with making some picks today and likes Joey Estes a lot. So I'm going to go with Estes of Oakland under the 4.5 Ks. Billy Lane. Lanny, what do you got, friend?
The Braves are hosting the San Francisco Giants. Chris Sale on the mound for Atlanta. So give me Chris Sale to record the win against the Giants.
Chris Sale has not broken yet, huh?
Not yet.
I wonder when I can hear Fourier now. Isn't there a place that I can bet on what date Chris Sale will break? Somebody's got to have it somewhere, right?
No, what he would have done is he would have put it in the parlay right before we came back from break.
True.
And it would have been our fault for not telling him that it's not, it can't happen.
No, that's a good point. You're right. That's a good call. Chicken Nick, what do you got?
Well, I was banking on a slump buster yesterday, and now I'm going low-hanging fruit and getting into a streak. So I'm doing everything you should do.
You're going Mark Grace yesterday. Slump buster.
Aaron Judge, already over 30 home runs this year. And Andrew Abbott of the Reds has given up the fifth most home runs in baseball. Judge hit one yesterday. I'm banking on Judge to hit another one today. This might be the lowest I've ever seen a home run odd, by the way.
Yeah.
Plus 180. That's kind of nuts how low that is, but give me Aaron Judge to hit a home run today against the Reds.
Well, it's really funny that you mentioned Andrew Abbott of Cincinnati on the other side of that against Aaron Judge there as the Reds are at the Yankees, because I'm going to go with Andrew Abbott of Cincinnati under 2.5 walks. That'll be the pick that is made for Foyer today.
Just leave him over the plate.
That's right, on the lunchtime parlay. Yeah, that's right. We can both win. I mean, he can give up 10 runs. I don't care. Just, you know, keep it under two walks or less, and I'll be happy. So, Andrew Abbott of Cincinnati, under 2.5 walks. Aaron Judge over the home run prop. Chris Sale to get a win. Joey Estes under 4.5 Ks. Folks, your $10 can win you. You ready for this? $192.81.
$2 million.
That is exactly right. Exactly right. There you go. We'll get that out on social media. On Twitter and X, it is Gresh Fourier, W-E-E-I. Gresh and Fourier. Spell the A-N-D in between our last names to be able to find everything we do on the Instagram. Lou Maloney coming up at noon to talk some baseball. But while we're at it, we weren't necessarily going down the Mount Rushmore of Boston sports against other cities. It was more of the founding fathers, but let's see where Jack and Natick takes us with Gresh No Fourier. Hello, Jack.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you? What do you have?
Happy So I did it with a couple of college buddies, and it's just a good little exercise. There's really only six cities, maybe seven, that have all four sports. And when I did it, I'll do my Boston team. I got Ted Williams, Brady, Bill Russell, and Bobby Orr. And when you compare it to other cities, there really is no comparison for New York. You know, they got too many very good baseball players. So they got Babe Ruth for baseball. Basketball is probably Walt Frazier. Football, you know, and when I do New York, Rush, you got to have the old New York teams, like the Knickerbockers, the Giants, the Yankees, and the Rangers versus the four new teams. Because I wasn't going to compare, you know, six or seven New York teams in there. And then for my second Boston, it was Yastrzemski or Pedro, John Hanna, Larry Bird, and Ray Bourque.
Jack, you mentioned... I was going to say, Jack, I got to run because we got Lou coming up at the top of the hour here. Again, that's why the Mount Rushmore thing always gears towards players, always. That's why when you do the Founding Fathers, the discussion is a little different because you have people who come along in the history of these franchises who end up in some way saving them. See Robert Kraft and the whole, you know, I know he purchased it. Khiam and Orthwine was in there and all that kind of stuff. If you look at the cities that have at least one of the four majors, it's Boston, Chicago, Dallas, Denver, Miami, Minnesota, Philadelphia, and Washington. That's at least according to the old quick search on the Google. I think there is a difference between a Mount Rushmore and the Founding Fathers. To me, the Founding Fathers are people that you will never forget. I don't care how young a Celtic fan you are, and I got two in my house, they know who Red Auerbach is. They may not completely understand the enormity of what he means to the NBA and the Celtics, but they at least know who he is.
Back to that last caller, though, but think about other cities and how bad their founding fathers are compared to...
Oh, Lord.
What we're trying to narrow it down to. Even if we try to narrow it down to 10.
What does it look like in Minnesota? Is Carl Pollard?
Kirby Puckett.
Oh, God.
Mike Madonna. you know what I mean? Like it's. But, I mean, you think about how spoiled and lucky we are that we struggle to find a dozen names for founding fathers in this area and other parts of the country, would their heads would be spinning trying to get five.
I miss the North Stars. Those are good uniforms.
Philly would put in Rocky.
No, Fourier would put in Rocky
other
for
than
Philly.
A fake character, he's awesome.
Yeah, and
yes, he would be there.
Of course, Billy, defending the Rocky franchise. We're halfway home here on this Wednesday, heading into the holiday weekend. Louis Merloney. We're moving up our chat with the voice of baseball in Boston. He ain't on Friday. He's with me next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.